You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The Around the NFL podcast has no dead cap money.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. I have heroes here, Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler. And it is the second day of the new league year. And kudos to us for finally cutting through all the red tape. Like, don't tell me the league year starting Wednesday is this big, important entree the whole week. It's the beginning of the week, and now here later in the week. So we took Wednesday off, and now we have a much clearer picture of everything. Huzzah.
I mean, to me, there is no larger farce, in all of pro sports than the NFL calendar in March. Like, and it's like, don't try to tell me that anything starts at a certain time.
Mm.
I won't buy it because it's day two of what we've been grinding since Sunday mid-afternoon.
Hey, if iHeart's not going to give us any credit, at least Dan did right to start off the show.
Nailed it.
We're good at that.
This is, yes, really, in reality, the fourth day of the league year. Don't listen to them.
Listen to us.
And that means many of the big players that were going into free agency looking for homes or looking to stay with their team, just looking to do business, have done that business. In fact, Greggy, of your top 101, how many, what number is the highest ranking player left?
Well, Tyron Smith has like a 4 next to his name, but on the original list, he would have been, I think, 14, and he also would have been the only player on the original list of even the top 20 that's unaccounted for. The only one.
And then, yeah, so one out of the
Kendall Fuller, who I apparently valued a lot higher than NFL teams, actually just came off the board. He would have been 13th on the list that went, you know, kind of final on Monday as the negotiating period started, and he just went off the board to the Dolphins, who have actually made a bunch of nice little moves.
We're still working on our list, and I think there's
a lot of questions.
It's more like, you know, we exhibit patience. The list will come when we feel it's time for it to show us.
I mean, what are we doing? The house is out of the horse is out of the barn. It's
all
on
right,
the highway.
Relax, yeah. Mark. I did not tell you that we did release it.
Oh well, that's good. Okay,
but
I'm glad to hear that.
It's on the internet.
Okay,
but it's
why was I not brought into that process?
It was top secret. We dropped it as an Easter egg on the internet.
It was actually, okay.
You could find the URL.
Right. Put out on the company.
You could read it.
That company was recently bought by European investors, and they told everyone, you know, that they're
what I do
no
love
longer.
We published it on Deadspin, and it was immediately eradicated. And that's not our fault.
I love that Greg, underneath the layers of, you know, deciding whether or not this was a real project, Greg is a little annoyed that we continue to pump up
a little bit
our list. Just a little.
You never know.
I love it because it's showing how tough it is to make that list. Where is your list? I don't see it.
It's always surprising what actually annoys Greg. Like talking about the pick standings or that football that the charity gave
like
me.
Like the football from
or for some reason the free agency 213, there's just, you could tell there's just a little bit of agitation. Why is that, Greg? Why is it the certain only things? Thing that, and then other things, it's like, nothing really matters.
The only thing that's bothering me about this is that you actually believe what you just said.
I do. I believe 100%. Like Aaron Rodgers, I believe everything I say, and I believe it to be correct.
You just don't believe anything anyone else says, at least from like a large sort of, you know, organizational or societal standpoint.
I don't. Yeah, now I don't know what you're talking about. We are going to be getting deep into a look back in terms of what has happened this week, and also, of course, looking ahead to what's still to come with the great Bill Barnwell, who is a great person to talk to this time of year, or really any time of year, but this time of year especially. So that's coming up a little bit later. But first, let's get caught up on the news since we last spoke with you.
Someone's going to ask you, so have you had the little ass boy conversation with Max yet?
Yeah, sure enough. Saw him. He's a big ass boy is what he is. Yeah, dang.
I did not even connect the dots on that. Gardner Minshew signs with the Las Vegas Raiders. And do we have that original sound from inside the NFL? For context, that Minshew in a game last year was repeatedly belittled by Crosby on the field for his stature, to the point where you cut to Minshew in the second half, and he's like, I'm not that small. Maybe for, according to the football world, but.
Little ass boy.
Dude, Max Crosby is so damn angry. Bro,
he's not really that angry.
I know, right? He keeps calling everybody little ass boy. Hey, little ass boy. Right. I'm like, I'm little out here, but not always, you know?
Gardner Minshew.
The God way he him. Says it, he's really got a McConaughey vibe to him. That's, I gotta say, I think that's kind of what you want out of your quarterback. He could be pointing out John Candy in the crowd right before he goes and has a game-winning Super Bowl.
Well, let's cut down with any Gardner Minshew Joe Montana parallels.
If he beats out Aiden O'Connell, maybe that'll happen. He's chill. Well,
perfect landing spot for Minshew. Let's see if he can squeeze some more starts out of this. All right, let's start though. In Tennessee, where a surprise on Wednesday, the Calvin Ridley, we had talked about in our previous show, and in general, all the arrows seem to be pointing to him returning to Jacksonville and circumventing that the trade terms with Atlanta to avoid giving up a second round pick, that he would just sign with the Jags, who he spent last year with on the first day of the league year. No, all that erroneous. Ridley signs a 4-year, $92 million contract with the Titans. That includes $50 million guaranteed. He's now, in terms of average value of salary at that position, a top 10, which really jumps out to me. Mark is a little rich for my blood with Calvin Ridley, a guy that's 29 years old. He's got a suspension on the ledger. He faded a little bit last year, or was a little hot and cold in general, and you're paying him as a number one. Like, the once again, the Dalton scale of wide receivers, that is an offseason episode that is screaming at us. Where would Ridley fall? I think on the other side of that. So let's talk about it, because he's not being paid like that.
That these wide receiver deals for a number of years in a row have been wild. I would say this though about the Titans in general. I don't know if Calvin Ridley is, I'm with you. I think the money is more than the man in this situation, but this was a team that desperately needed to
Not the man.
Well,
the player.
The player, okay.
Okay, that's
I don't
that's
know,
important.
I don't know him personally, so that was out of bounds by me. And I
not since you took down the entire insider culture have I thought that you really made such a personal attack.
More on that later.
That was only a couple days ago. But now you add Ridley to DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. It's like Will Levis is coming out of this as somewhat of a winner because, A, they didn't—
Can you say those again? Say those names again.
Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins,
okay.
Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. It's not that they couldn't go draft someone else too. It's just that
is that good.
I'm just saying they were bottom of the barrel, one of the worst wide receiver groups in the league at times last year. And it's like, if Hopkins can still play, I don't hate Ridley and Hopkins as a duo. They added Tony Pollard, Lloyd Cushenberry. It's like they are at least active. They needed to take steps, and they're taking steps.
It was one of the only contracts this offseason that when they reported, I was like, wow, I did not expect him to be that far above the rest of the class of receivers that even got to free agency. Marquise Brown, for instance, hasn't even signed yet, though, so we'll see what he gets, but it's not going to be anything close to this. When it was $50 million guaranteed, so you mentioned the average contract. That I think that actually does favors to the Titans, so unless the reporting is extremely misleading, it's $50 million guaranteed, which I would assume is basically over the first 2 years of his contract. So that's more like 25. It's actually backloaded. I don't think he gets to that third year anyways. And that guaranteed money would be second among all wide receivers, only behind Tyreek Hill. Now, the cap goes up. Our friend Justin Graver and Titans fans are in their feelings. And people criticizing this move immediately pointed out off a tweet I wrote of like, well, if the percentage of the cap is a lot less, and it's, you know, it's a lot. If you average out what AJ Brown's contract actually would have been now, like that's a bigger percentage of the cap from when it was signed. It's like, and all these Titans fans who are all comparing it, and it's like, yeah, this is going to look like a bargain when Ayuk signs and Higgins signs and all these top players. And my thing is like, yeah, but really he's not anywhere close to the category of those players. That's our point. That's like, yeah, of course AJ Brown takes up a bigger percentage of the cap, although he got less guaranteed money, which again is a little crazy. Ridley's just like a good player that's getting paid as a great player, which is how teams historically have gotten into trouble in free agency. And he's not a young player anymore either. He's 29. He's a little like inconsistent last.
He's like an older version with a little more, you know, background than Christian Kirk. Like, remember a few years ago when everybody was getting $19 million a year at the time, and that was,
and that aged out well,
and it
actually
did. So like, you can look at it that way. Is, and if he listen, if he has 100 catches next year and 1300 yards and 8 touchdowns, that's fine, but you need him to be that guy, and he hasn't really, other than very early in his career, been on a trajectory as like a star slash superstar player. But I don't want to
I don't want to bury it. They had so many caps.
Because on the surface, what you're saying, are the Titans, at least on paper, better than they were 4 days ago? I think so. Is Will Levis the guy? I have some doubts about that too, but they're at least giving him a chance and a core around him, and we'll see what happens.
I do wonder if they had to pay what they paid, because along with the Jaguars, the Patriots were talked about as looking after Ridley as well. So there's maybe some sort of a bidding war behind the scenes where you're having to pay this money.
Now, I don't want to get all Aaron Rodgers here, but I do have a conspiracy theory on all this.
Go ahead.
That no one's been reporting or out there. So,
or that you heard from me.
No one's reporting your conspiracy theories.
No, it's just in my head.
Yes.
At no point did we ever hear the Titans were in the mix. It was a little strange. It was like hardcore 17 different inside Patriots, 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 Jaguars, Jaguars, blah, blah, blah. He wants to stay with the Jaguars. My conspiracy theory is he maybe had a little bit of a wink, wink, nod, nod agreement with the Jaguars that he wasn't going to sign until after that Wednesday to help them with the draft picks in general. But all along, the Titans had this offer there, and they were probably the favorite. And again, he's just doing the Jaguars a favor by basically waiting till Wednesday, and then they get the better draft pick. I don't believe that they just suddenly came into the mix in the last second and then blew everyone out of the water with a huge offer. And Jacksonville fans, and this is to Calvin Ridley's credit, are mad, even though they weren't too happy with him during the year when he ran a lot of weird routes and had a lot of drops. The Jaguars did really want him, and the only reason that they couldn't keep him was because they had to use the tag on Josh Allen, which they should have signed him to a long-term deal before. So a little...
But that also, that seems very plausible, but that also tells you that even more of a fraudulent entity is this, like, legal tampering.
Oh, yeah, that's
period.
part of my
because it's like
theory.
This stuff had been going on long before, you know, the legal tampering window opened so wide. Please.
Titans have had a wild free agency period, but I'll put a pin in that. We can talk about that with Bill.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned Mason Rudolph also signed with the team, so he will back up Will Levis and like Gardner Minshew. I think that's a good spot for Rudolph because I think there's an opportunity to play there. Potentially.
Was almost out of the league before those last couple of starts.
Isn't it ironic that when he did close the season well, or at least better than Kenny Pickett, and finally played at a pretty solid level for the Steelers, and then they get rid of him finally? Like,
I am happy to see him not on the Steelers anymore.
No, I'm certainly not vouching for him staying in Pittsburgh, but just the way where it felt like he was on the team for 14 years and did nothing.
Right.
Then finally did a little bit of something. They were like, all right, bye.
Now you're gone.
He appeared in 4 games. If it had qualified, he would have been third in the NFL in QBR. It will
stop.
Long be forgotten.
Do we really need that stat twice?
Mason Rudolph.
Gave that to us last time. And it's
I had to check this on Pro Football Reference right now just to make sure.
He wasn't good.
Even though it was only 2 months ago, no, that Mason Rudolph started a playoff game in the year 2024. He was in the NFL started the playoffs. All the teams got to choose their starting quarterback. Yep. Mason Rudolph was one of those quarterbacks.
Put it this way.
Right. One of the more low wattage playoff games.
That was
games
only 2 months ago.
Witnessed.
I can't be.
Rudolph throwing for 945 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 2 picks in his final 4 games has a real hearty whiff of Desmond Ritter's last 4 games in Atlanta and people being like, hey, he was pretty good. It's pretty good, actually. Speaking of Desmond Ritter, former Falcons starting quarterback is on the move. He was traded. How about this? Rondale Moore, second round pick, I believe, once upon a time.
Yep.
Yep. So the Cardinals send Rondale Moore, their former second round pick, to the Falcons for Ritter. So a 1-for-1 swap. Love these. It's fun. You know, it's like old school player for player. So the Cards get a new backup and the Falcons add another wide receiver.
I think the Falcons, and I know they're going to be like the sexy NFC South pick, and they should be. Like this is another team that has like recrafted their offense in a couple of off seasons. Like you have Drake London, Darnell Mooney. I like him in your wide receiver group. Rondale Moore, Kadarrell Hodge, who's more helpful than I think people realize. Then maybe you've got Kyle Pitts finally emerging. Bijan Robinson, like, and Kirk Cousins. Like this offense on paper looks dangerous.
By the way, I'm so fantasy drafts aren't for months, but I am one of the many, many thousands who will be back in on Kyle Pitts with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but like it feels like a shaky back. Fantasy situation, the Falcons in general, because who's
I'm not gonna
be I'm back, baby.
There's a lot of people to
I was in on him in year one and year two. I took year three off and I'm all the way back in year four.
Then we know what happens with you. Then he doesn't perform and then you write him off as a person, as a man.
I'm sort of in on this like Kyle Pitts has this idea.
Don't cross me.
That is not a reality. That, like, if Kyle Pitts was who we thought Kyle Pitts was, like, I think we would know more by now. I don't think he's as explosive as he looked.
He's played through some injuries.
And he had some injuries. Blaming everything on Arthur Smith and Ritter, I think, is a little too simple. It's pretty rare that you have a challenge trade. These are both players that were a little disappointing, I think, to their team. Ritter, maybe more than a little.
Oh, yeah.
But he was a third-round pick. Like, if he turns into a decent backup quarterback, like, that's what you kind of expect out of a third-round pick.
Ritter got his coach fired.
Moore can make people miss. He is now the third wide receiver on the Falcons roster that has caught a pass in the NFL in the last 3 years. So, like, they only had two. They only had one before Darnell Mooney, and then they had two, and now they have three. So they needed
progress.
Yes.
Let's take a break, and then we will continue onward.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right. The Chargers making moves. They say goodbye. And this one, you know, as a team, I follow a team that needs wide receiver help and maybe a playmaker that could stretch the defense. Mike Williams is on the market. The Chargers release Williams. The Bolts pushed a lot of pain into this offseason with some restructures last year, and now they have to pay the bill, and that's why Mike Williams is no longer on the team, and that comes after he signed a three-year $60 million contract after 2021. He was having an awesome start to last season before he tore his ACL, and of course, Mark, injuries and Mike Williams, they are no strangers. So any team that does sign him, I'm very curious to see what his market is. I think there'll be a lot of teams interested in him, but how much money he gets considering his injury history. But he's still a pretty young guy, too. I think he's sneaky young.
Yeah.
29. But maybe his body's sneaky old. Will be an interesting test in free agent.
Yeah, he's a juicy free agent wideout sitting out there, but it is like how many games you're going to get out of him year after year. And I know this team's going to look so different, but when Mike Williams was not on the field for the Chargers during this Justin Herbert era, they looked a lot different. Like, I think he certainly made defenses have to pay attention to him. Now they're down to Keenan Allen, Josh Palmer, and Quentin Johnson. I think Quentin Johnson's got a lot of pressure on him to be what they thought he could be at this point.
I think, like, Harbaugh's kind of stripping it down a little bit, and
right,
it's going to be this year. You know, we'll see what happens this year, but this, I think this whole thing is starting to be built, you know, stripped down to build back up.
Like Gus Edwards.
What do they call it? A controlled rebuild? Is that what they call it? Something like that?
I mean, you could call it, makes sense.
Call it whatever you want.
Verbally. No, I'm saying, I feel like that's a term that's out there.
I am not sure, because some of the reporting around this, right when it happened, was they actually would maybe try to get him back at a lower price. And so they also renegotiated a deal for Khalil Mack to keep him. And then there's these...
And Joey Bosa.
Has that happened?
Yeah. Well, they're working on he's restructuring his deal too.
It's a controlled...
But I know that Greg was working behind the scenes, because yesterday when we were deciding, like, is there enough to do a show? Or
right.
Greg kept being like, I think there's going to be big Chargers moves. And like 8 minutes later, I'm pretty sure some big Chargers moves are coming. And
poor
then, like,
Ian. Ian's trying to work. And just keeps
I wasn't bugging him
Rosenthal
at all. It was obvious. They had like the four. Everyone was reporting that for weeks, that something had to happen.
No, but
here.
It just was like.
You broke that Bosa news to me, I got to admit.
Is there
on
Bosa
the way
news
here? Yeah, well, that he restructured it to stay. So.
What do you mean you have to admit? That's what I do. I operate in the news.
I'm saying
industry.
I have to admit that I was a little off the grid on the way in.
Okay.
I ate a little lunch. I missed that.
Do you really get beat on aggregated news? Like when you're not actually a reporter? You're saying he beat you on that?
I'm not saying he beat. I'm saying I entered the show.
He has to admit that I actually was productive. That's
nothing to do with Mark. I'm saying
the insider, Mark Sessler.
I entered the show without a key bit of information related to something, and I don't feel good about it.
And guess who was there for you?
I'm surprised. Mark
Edward Sessler.
I mean, who was there for the freaking listeners of the Around the NFL podcast? That I'm actually very surprised by that. That Bosa's staying, considering how little he's played. But Mike Williams, would you rather have him or Calvin Ridley? You know, Ridley...
If they're healthy, Mike Williams.
If they're healthy, Mike Williams. I put Mike Williams as number 12 now in the new 101, which is confusing because half the people
how
are
about
off
this?
It. It's like I'm ranking him against people that are already signed. But to me, he's a true X-receiver, a true difference maker when he's out there.
Coming off an ACL, he might have to sign a prove-it deal. But let's say he gets a Fugazi deal. So let's say, you know, it's a three-year deal or four-year deal. But it's really a two-year deal. So 2 for $50 for Ridley or 2 for $35 for Mike Williams. Give me Mike Williams.
All day long.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And if I had to guess, I'm going to go 1 for $14 is like what
I think so, too.
Something like
that. I'd be if
decent
I were,
money, but
if
just
I were
one
Joe
year.
D, I would be all over that, especially if you're a team in a win now window. You take a chance.
And we have
on
predictions
like
coming up later, I believe, in the show with Bill Barnwell. And I have a prediction tied to Mike Williams.
Great. Okay. So we'll just move on.
So if you're listening, just fast forward to that.
Yes. All right. Joe Flacco got a job. We were just talking about Joe Flacco last show. I was trying to wrap my head around why you would ever sign Jameis Winston in general, but to sign him to replace Joe Flacco, who was one of the great stories of the NFL season as Deshaun Watson's backup took the Browns to the playoffs. The Browns say bye-bye. So Flacco needs a job, and he lands with the Colts, a one-year $8.7 million contract. How much of that? All right, 4.5 is guaranteed, according to Shefty. And a nice landing spot for Flacco. He is backing up a second-year quarterback who is a top-five draft pick. So unless Anthony Richardson gets injured again, Joe's not going to see the field. I kind of want to see Joe take the field again, but I also want to see Anthony Richardson stay on the field this year. Mm. So if anybody was like invested in the arc of this Joe Flacco end of his career renaissance, this could end up be something that puts him in mothballs, but good for him. He's in the league and he's still making millions of dollars.
I just like that Anthony Richardson is a Shane Steichen quarterback and Joe Flacco is a Shane Steichen quarterback and Gardner Minshew is a Shane Steichen quarterback. Like, get you a coach that can do both. It's like, okay, let's just get the guy who's exactly the same as the backup. No, like, we've seen Shane Steichen work it with Nick Foles to the tune of one of the greatest Super Bowl performances of all time. He was on that staff somewhere, wasn't he? I don't know. Flacco will be the starter, though, during some of the offseason while Richardson recovers from a torn ACL. And, yeah, you would think he probably will end up taking some snaps this year just because Richardson, you know, had multiple injuries in those.
Well, and Richardson had concussion issues. And it's like the way that he plays, you just have to wonder, like,
he's kind of a wild man in that month that he played.
He really was.
So it's important to have a good backup.
Yeah, I think we could see Flacco. I'd say from the Browns' perspective, and I mentioned this the other day, like, they're operating in fear. Like, this, it was too much of a distraction to have, like, a fan favorite emerge behind the quarterback who's the worst free agent.
Right, it wasn't about money because his base salary is basically the same as Winston. Got a little.
He was too popular. And, like, I think that's just another chapter in a team stuck in a very dark situation at under center.
They might say that Flacco was potentially a fluco. If you ask them why they did it, they'd say,
Yeah, but you went and got Jameis Winston. It's not like you have an absolute. I know Greg is higher than Jameis Winston than some, but it's like Jameis Winston is about as hot and cold as it gets.
Right. But his play was at such a high level that they say maybe more of a fluco.
I know, but it's like I know where you're going.
I think what you're missing
good of a
here
story
is Dan's 745th ranked bit Flacco fluco over the last 10 years. It's having quite a renaissance.
It is.
I'm just trying to do the bit, and Mark keeps on debating me.
I know, but it's like whenever we go down Jets Avenue, and you spin the yarn about how everyone's against the Jets, and it's always constant jokes and like this is my so-called team,
right?
And this is what I liked about my team last year, and they got rid of it.
Yeah. No, but what he's saying though is like he got that comeback player of the year award.
Go ahead,
he deserved it.
But he could be a fluco.
Could be a bit of a fluco.
I mean, I get it. Am I supposed to find it as funny as the two of you at the moment?
I mean, it's the apex of comedy. Bobby Wagner, his homecoming with the Seahawks was brief after one season.
And we have a middle school watching us right now.
Still played at a high level. I just don't look outside the fishbowl.
I can't help it. And they're all taking photos and stuff. They're outside the windows.
He goes to that place, Washington. The Commander's been active. Agreed to terms with Bobby Wagner, formerly the Seahawks, and before that the Rams, and before that the Seahawks, on a one-year deal, $6 million guaranteed money, worth up to $8.5 million. So there you go, a veteran hammer in the middle of that defense. And Greg, dare I say, at the risk of offending you, future Hall of Famer.
I think that's a safe one. You're not going to offend me on that one.
Phew. All right. Safe. Other news. Anything on that? Nice, solid signing.
Dan Quinn has added a lot. They've added a lot of players to a defense that's going to look
very different.
For the price,
it's fine. I mean, they aren't making long-term commitments with most of their players. They've been as active as any team. I kind of like that. 49ers fans have pointed out it's a little similar to what the 49ers did when Shanahan showed up there. Just like raise the base level with a bunch of professionals for a year or two while you start figuring out who are the core guys.
The Lions announced four-year contract extensions for GM Brad Holmes and head coach Dan Campbell. That's a no-brainer. And finally, before we take a break, and then we're going to welcome in Bill Barnwell.
I've got controlled fury.
Thank you, Dan. Kirk Cousins was officially introduced as the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, and he looking sharp in his suit in the Falcons. I feel like we all slept on a couple things. You know, you had Florio getting into it with people in the media because he had a source that said that Kirk was doing some real estate shopping in Atlanta. But he also, what I read after the signing, I didn't know this. I guess this is probably out there too, that his wife's from there.
Yeah, we talked about
they got married there.
Yeah. We literally
their
talked
kid was
about
born
it on
there.
This podcast.
I maybe missed that show, or maybe I wasn't listening to you. There are a lot of tea leaves there, and he went there. And here's Kirk Cousins talking about why he decided to move on from Minnesota.
In Minnesota, it was trending over the last couple off seasons to be in somewhat year to year, and as we talked with Atlanta, it felt like this was a place where you know, if I play at the level I expect to play, that I can retire a Falcon. And that was something that really excited me. And that's certainly the goal.
Kirk has also been number 8, I believe, his whole career. That's Kyle Pitts' number. Here's a fun little Waka Waka conversation about that.
He was funny about it. I said, I'll write a check, whatever, you know, foundation. What? I'm not going to let you just give me the number. I want to make it worth your while.
What
you
a
know,
nice
make
guy.
A donation, whatever it needs to be. And he said, I just want, you know, targets every game. You know, he said, he was joking, you know, he kind of winked. So I joked with him. I said, good answer. Good answer.
He winked.
I'm telling you, Kyle Pitts, there was no joke about that. He's like, you can throw it straight, right? You could hit me in the chest with passes. I love you. I will give you anything, including the shirt off my back.
I gotta say, Kirk Cousins looking sharp in that suit.
Does look good. I think you gotta. The Falcons have really leaned into the whole chains thing, and I think you gotta leave that in Minnesota and come up with your own new stuff. If I'm the Vikings, seeing he's bringing the Kirko chains thing here, it's like that was our thing. Come up with something new. He did drop a little bit of news though too, which has been supported by reporting that the Vikings really weren't committing to him long term in the same way that within these
negotiations.
I think they were offering him good money, but after the first year, it maybe was going to be a little year to year, and the Falcons were going to make it 2+. You know, they're really committing 2.5, really 3 years probably to Kirk.
It does leave me wondering, like Kevin O'Connell, who on multiple occasions came out very strongly saying, we believe Kirk Cousins should be our quarterback. I came here because of him. We're working hard to get him back here. And then in the end, like all that's true is the money. They weren't.
Well, they, yeah.
In terms of
Kevin O'Connell. I think that is being pointed out, that it's Kwesi.
Well, yeah, that's, I don't know. Like if you're Kevin O'Connell, and I know we're big on Sam Darnold, but it's like you have a challenge at quarterback now.
Is that a royal we? You guys in now?
I don't hate the landing spot for Sam Darnold, but I think you're talking about someone who's a you know.
Little team of ATN vibes to you?
No.
Save it for Bill, who's been listening to this entire segment and tells me over text that he's actually talking over our points, making his point.
All right, so let's take a break because that sounds saucy. He might come on mad. We might have said something that offended Bill, and now we're going to find out.
That's good podcasting. I hope so.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Our next guest, really at this point, needs no introduction, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. ESPN star, podcaster, expert analyst, future general manager. I see it as a possibility if he wants that path. Bill Barnwell. What's up, Bill? What? You could do it.
Future, I'm very skeptical. There are a lot of people I would put ahead of me on the future general manager list, including several of the people who host the show.
Wow, several.
Several, not all.
Several, not all. I want you to look in the mirror.
You don't want
tonight.
Me as a GM on your team.
I want you to look in the mirror tonight and say, was it me?
Oh, I'll be thinking about this for probably months.
But you have no idea what you did to Mark Sykes just now.
He is a TV star. He's actually between SportsCenter hits right now.
Hell yeah.
Insider information. And you see him on Around the Horn more now. They're using him there. So it's all
I was out on the town in the afternoon like a couple weeks ago. And
as Mark Sessler often.
Well, no, just like I and up on the television, you know, for all the place to see was Bill Barnwell like chopping it up. But of course, no sound. And then they don't put the closed captions, so that's a problem. I spoke to management about that.
I try to be so eloquent and so overly verbose, or so underly verbose, maybe, that you can read my lips, even if you're not an actual lip reader.
No, it's a service to the viewer, yeah.
Did you, anything in our news segment that you jumped on when you're getting set up that offended you? We seem to be getting
Yeah. Oh, that's, yes, absolutely. Oh. Multiple things, frankly.
What does that? We made you wait, or what else?
No, I would have just watched the show. That would have been, frankly, my dream appearance, just be to watch the show from behind the door, not have to come up with original thoughts, and just be like, yeah, I contributed. I was a part of that show. I just never got. I was like, you know, the guy at the All-Star game. We never got to play. Still an All-Star, just because I didn't get on the field does not matter. Two things I want to ask.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's get going.
Number one, the idea that Kirk Cousins needs to leave the Kirko chains in Minneapolis. I'm not saying you're wrong necessarily, but it's not like Kirk left you like that in Washington. Like he brought that to Minnesota. And I think as someone who does not have a lot of bits, like Kirk has like two or three things and that's it. The things we know about Kirk Cousins, the chains, we know you like that, and that he does not know how to grill food. Those are the three things he has to bring from stop to stop because he doesn't have anything else.
That's true. That's like the
abandon the bits.
Yeah, dad, certain dad bits. Like if you leave your keys behind, and then dad's like, "Hey, you're not going to get too far without these." Like he needs to have some of his greatest hits.
Maybe
don't
it's
take
maybe it's the Falcons social media giving me a shirtless Kirko chains this morning with a caption, "Woke up dripping." It's just like, okay.
These social media handles need to calm down.
That was last year. And to Kirk's credit, he pointed out the chains aren't going to be so cute if we're not winning games. So if he actually looks like a 36-year-old coming off a torn Achilles, then the bits are going to die.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to, unless there was another thing that you took. Keep going. Let's go. Let's chop it up. Let's figure things out.
The universal Sam Darnold love. I wanted to make it clear that even though I am a guest and respect the opinions of the Around the NFL broadcasters and the Around the NFL show, I do not want to be included as one of the Sam
You want to be excluded from that narrative, a la Taylor Swift.
Very much. Yes. I am on the other side of this line. History will prove me right.
Do you know what's good about that? Because I am, I don't know if you know, Bill, very much on the other side with, you know, your colleague and friend Mina Kimes, amongst others.
Of course.
That I think it's good because I don't need, what the one thing the Sam Darnold Hive doesn't need is it to become a tidal wave of everyone expecting him to be good. Still need prominent voices like Barnwell, like Rosenthal, like the Cess dog. See, you're wondering if I was going to leave you out. saying, no, he sucks, because that will make it all the sweeter. So that is great news. Mm-hmm. No issue here. Mm-hmm. No issue here.
Yep, I agree. There's a lot of times where like people will, like the Lions, for example. There were no Lions haters the last couple of years. Everyone thought the Lions were going to get better. Mm-hmm. Everyone was excited about what they were doing. Like, I think that there's like this like false hater thing that comes up and people are like, no one believed in us. Like, no, everyone believed in you to get better. Maybe you exceeded expectations, which good for you, but everyone thought you were going to be better. Everyone thought you did a lot to improve. Nobody was like, this team's going to be terrible. So I feel like you want to have some actual haters to just make your point, make it feel a little more valid. When
Bill, you
Sam
are
Darnold
in fine form. I could tell, like us, you've been doing a lot of podcasts this week, a lot of appearances. Mm-hmm. You should check out the Bill Barnwell podcast in addition to this show, and you'll be all caught up. So let's get into some categories. I know you did some superlatives on your show. This will be slightly different, but kind of the same. Well, maybe we'll make it different. That's different humans talking about football.
Yeah.
And I'll start with the move that made the biggest impact. And the reason I want to start with that one is because I'll take the easy one, because I think Kirk Cousins is that pick for me, because of obviously the position he plays, but also the recent history of the Falcons. And I don't even really need to dig in too far, because you know how important just having a stabilizing force at that position can be for a Falcons team that might be ready to make the leap. Your thoughts, Bill, on the Cousins Falcons fit, and then maybe if you want to throw in one of your own biggest impact guys.
I do like the fit. I think the price matters when we talk about free agency. I think, you know, especially when you get the actual money here. And I think Greg pointed this out, I believe, on social media. It's not that big of a deal. It feels big, and it's two guaranteed years, but this is basically the Daniel Jones deal, but with inflation making up most of the difference. Daniel Jones got $82 million guaranteed. With inflation from the cap, that's up to $93 million over 2 years. Kirk got 100. I don't think that is an exorbitant amount for a player who was, I mean, what, top 10, would you guys say, last year before he got hurt in terms of quarterbacks around the league? Lower half of the top 10 for sure.
I think that's fair.
8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, sure.
That's a good deal. To me, that I think that's a really solid price for a quarterback who, even if he's coming off the Achilles, he's not a mobile quarterback anyway. I don't think you're going to be asking him to run around a lot. A player who had a great injury history before suffering the Achilles, had not even been on the injury report for many years before suffering that injury last year. I like the fit in Zach Robinson's offense. I think the personnel they've added, not only who they had in place, but also the guys they've added over the past few days, Darnell Mooney, they trade for Rondale Moore today. I think those are exciting pieces to work with. They play indoors again. I maybe he doesn't give you the ceiling you're looking for. Maybe you don't get the rookie quarterback ceiling. But I think if their goal is to win the NFC South, this was a logical move.
Yeah, I think so too. I just think people have this idea that they're this like this ready-made team, and it's a totally different coaching staff. People often like project forward of like, how is this offensive line going to be, for instance? It actually was pretty disappointing last year. It's one of the reasons I think they fell short. How is their defense going to be? Some of the numbers look pretty good for the Falcons, but DVOA, they were 24th because they played such an easy schedule. That was artificially inflated. And you look at their defense, the front sevens, you know, especially the edge rushing positions, pretty lackluster. So it helps they look like the best team in that division, but that's doing a lot of the work here. If you're just lining up like who's got the best roster in the NFC, they're right in the middle, and they might be behind the Minnesota Vikings. So it's like, I don't think they're some great ready-made team. They're just in a bad division.
Yeah, but you'll take that. Like play it as it lays. You are not going to be stuck in the, you know, in the NFC West anytime soon. And you have an owner who's in his 80s. You have a roster that's not one of the younger rosters in football, especially after all the free agent signings they made last year on defense. Like if you want to go win 10, 11 games, I think Kirk can do that for you.
Biggest impact for you, other, or maybe it is Cousins, or is it someone else?
I would say Cousins, but I'm trying to think of a second person. I don't know if you could hear me trying to stall as I was getting that answer.
We could pivot too. You don't have to force another impact.
No, because yeah. I think there's a conversation to be had here. What about Saquon Barkley?
Okay.
Should we have the Saquon Barkley conversation? Because I think it implies a couple things. Number one, there's the economic impact of, okay, we have found the point where even teams like the Eagles, who are not typically investing in running backs, are willing to go out and pay for a premium running back. We saw that price tag make sense. He's getting less than Gabe Davis, which at the end of the day, like I have to believe if you polled 32 NFL defensive coordinators and said, are you more worried about Gabe Davis or Saquon Barkley? You know, if you're playing the next week, I have to imagine most of them would say Saquon Barkley. And I think it raises this really fascinating question about what this Eagles offense is going to look like post Jason Kelce retiring, and after they've now hired Kellen Moore to be the offensive coordinator. Are they going to be a team that throws to the running back more the way Moore's offenses did with Tony Pollard and Austin Eckler? Because they didn't do that much over the past couple years with Jalen Hurts. Is Jalen Hurts going to run less? Is he going to be less a part of the designated running back or quarterback running game? Is he going to be the guy who runs the tush push? Are they going to put Saquon in the tush push spot? I think is a viable possibility. I think there's all these different questions about what Saquon is going to do in that offense. offense, and it may work out that he's just a typical running back. He gets 30 catches a year, and that's a pretty boring answer. But I think there's a lot of exciting possibilities for how the Eagles offense could evolve with Kellen Moore and now with a different focal point in Saquon Barkley.
I love the fit. I'm with you. I think that, you know, if you look at Saquon Barkley, A, durability was an issue in New York, but also the cast around him and the quarterback's durability and the wideout's durability and the tight end's durability and the offensive line being a shambles. Like, he's in a much better spot. And I think the Eagles have found a way, even though their season ended in total chaos, to kind of flip the switch a little bit where some of that goes away. And I think Saquon Barkley is like a new face who, like, you're right, it changes the versatility of what the offense can do. And I feel a little bit different about the Eagles. And him going to another place, I wouldn't have been big on. I like it in Philadelphia for the NFC East rivalry side of it, too.
I absolutely do, too, because I think my answer for biggest impact, a lot of the options would be on the Eagles. I think Bryce Huff for them is going to be perfect. I think Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is in that secondary that just absolutely needed something. And I think that is a sort of an undervalued position, having that versatility where you can play slot, you can play safety, and they absolutely needed someone back there, and they know what they're getting in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Like, I look at a lot of the moves this week, and a lot of my favorite moves are the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm back in.
Everybody's back in on the Eagles. How about this? Pivot. Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Here's my question about the Eagles. This is the only part that worries me about the Eagles and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So they could have signed him to a multi-year deal last year. Did not do it. He misses the entire season basically because of injury. And now they want to bring him back on a multi-year deal? Does that seem a little worrisome to you? Maybe they're just trying to erase what happened last year and just bring back, you know, try to like just bring back the 2022 team at all costs?
I think he just had a certain number that he wanted to reach last year and no one gave it to him. And the reporting was just that they were going to spend that money somewhere, but it's the first few hours of free agency. He wasn't taking it. And they pivoted to Bradbury, and that turned to be a disastrous contract. They were not expecting to keep Bradbury or pay him that much money. And then Chauncey Gardner-Johnson got left out in the cold. I mean, he kind of did this year, too. None of these safeties got paid, like, monster money, but he did better.
I like it better than the relationship between Chauncey Gardner and Dennis Allen, which was one of the funnier subplots in the NFC a couple years ago.
Somebody, I'm looking for it on Twitter. Somebody sent it to me. We've been talking. It's come up a couple times on the shows this week that the idea of being careful with your friend that breaks up with the girl, and then you say something bad about the girl, and then the friend gets back with the girl.
Yeah.
Like, eef.
Troubled waters.
Apparently, on the way out the door, Gardner-Johnson buried the city of Philadelphia and their fans. So that's a tricky one.
I think he's sent some tweets out to make up.
It's like the worst part of playing there were the fans. Well, welcome back.
Yeah.
No. If I could find that quote, I'll do it. Pivot. Greggy, what is the move where you were scratching your head like, come on. What?
All right. Titans fans aren't going to love this, but they made a couple just swaps that to me didn't make a lot of sense. One of them was Azeez Al-Shaahir goes to Houston, and they bring in Kenneth Murray from the Chargers, which feels like a downgrade, and they paid more money for it. Another one was Derrick Henry leaves the building, and you bring in Tony Pollard, which is fine. I like Tony Pollard, so I'm not really killing this one, but it's just like a swap. Is this an upgrade again for the same amount of money? There's just a lot going on there. And if you look at each move, I don't think one by one that they were terrible moves by the Titans. Like Lloyd Cushenberry gets a lot of money at center. But they all scream to me of a team a little bit like the Patriots, although they spend on their own guys. It's like at some point you have too much cap space and you just feel like you have to spend it and you make marginal upgrades. Like they went from Aaron Brewer to Cushenberry at center and just spent twice as much money. It's like historically that's bad process and that sort of process doesn't work out. So it's more of the Titans process in general, but especially that Murray contract seemed bizarre to me because he was kind of a fiasco with the Chargers.
Yeah. I had no idea what he was, what that market was like. That was going to be my pick as well.
Whoa.
I've got a situation that irks me.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's more about just inactivity. And I you know, the way this works, probably by the time people are listening to this could change. But the Chiefs needed a wide receiver. They needed to look for something. And they've added Irv Smith, largely forgettable tight end, and nothing else. I know they restructured the Mahomes deal, and I think there's that, to me, suggests or hints at a bigger move to come. And I hope it does, but it's like, the draft is helpful too, but their draft position isn't great. Like, you need to look around for something because you can't
get
run.
Someone, though.
I think they will, but it's like they have done nothing yet. And yet I speak against myself because I trust no team more to kind of figure out their own issues. So
still players. We just talked about Mike Williams in the news. You know, Odell's out there and there's the draft ahead.
It could be trades.
I'd like
could
Mike Williams. Hollywood. That would be interesting.
Would the Bengals ever trade T. Higgins to them? I forgot
for the Chiefs.
By the way, for the Titans, there was a contract I liked even less on the Titans, which was which we never talked about on the pod, which is Chidobe Awuzie, which I just didn't get because he was coming off a torn ACL last year and struggled pretty badly for the Bengals, got benched more or less during that stretch run, and then they like want to establish a veteran culture and they give all this money to him. So that's some curious.
During a live stream on Twitch last July, CJ Gardner-Johnson was asked about his favorite and least favorite part of his time in Philadelphia. Here's a quote. Philadelphia, Colleen Wolf, this is not me, this is the quote. My least favorite thing is the people. They're f***ing obnoxious. I f***ing can't stand the mother
so. All the people, not even just the fans.
Well, ironically,
I mean, you know, is that the right context? Like, that could be like a out of context, that could be differently.
Randy Chavez, Behind the Glass, Big Fun, can you check in on the context? That's important. Bill's a journo at his heart.
Ironically,
the Northeastern grad, like
maybe
myself.
It's like if the Eagles fans read that, wouldn't they recognize one of their own in
no.
that? Like that is
no.
someone.
Well, absolutely,
I don't think
that,
so.
That is hilarious because yeah, he tweeted out flying home and put an Eagle thing up. I don't think he's addressed these comments yet.
All right, how about the?
Go
ahead.
I just have a question. Can we also find out what his favorite thing was? If the least favorite thing was people. That's a really vague one.
Like, there's a lot favorite, of them like, too. He does say, "I do owe the fans of Philly an apology. Regardless, this is an amazing place, and we had some memories together. Let's go get us one." So,
all right,
we had
let
some
bygones memories. Be bygones, as they say. I don't know what that means really. How about this one? The Vince Lombardi Memorial. What the hell's going on around here? Bill, for you, the signing that really left you, or trade or whatever that left you scratching your head.
What the hell's going on out here?
I would say the Vikings with Sam. I don't want to have to rehash that though, because I really don't understand what's going on there. Maybe. Can we talk about the Raiders and Christian Wilkins? Because on one hand, it makes total sense. And on the other, I don't think it makes sense. Like from the perspective of we need to upgrade this roster, they needed an interior pass rusher. And I think that makes total sense. But in the big picture, I think they're a lot closer to contention than they actually are. I really think they need to take a step backwards, not a step forwards, and kind of feels like they're just making the same mistake that 20 years of Raiders teams have done in years past. But I don't know. Do you guys feel like there's an obvious one that I'm missing? Because I feel like that's kind of cheating.
Does it strike you as like the Ndamukong Suh to the Dolphins back when that happened and everyone thought that Miami was winning the offseason?
That is a great comparison.
Wilkins is a great player. And I was surprised he got to free agency in the first place. It was one of the most surprising things. And I do like what they're building. Winning with defense first, though, and you give $57 million guaranteed to a defensive tackle in the same year that you sign Gardner Minshew as your presumptive starting quarterback. It's just, it's weird process, but, you know, he was one of the best players available.
Can I offer my theory on this? I think, and this is a power of his personality, cult of personality. Antonio Pierce has that organization whipped up into an uproar. Yeah. They got him puffing out their chest. You heard the comments about the Chiefs. We can't wait to give them the Jordan rules. They go and they're like, and you know Antonio Pierce, a former linebacker. He's like, yeah, give me that Max Crosby chess piece to pair with him, and we're going to kick some more ass. And it's like, bring us in this guy and that guy. And we're, even though it makes all the sense in the world to trade Davante Adams and reset for the future, we're keeping him because we're going to continue to – and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think there's something to be said for – just positive vibes, and why not? They could win 9 games next year and make the playoffs. But at the same time, maybe the Pierce and the energy around the end of that season and him getting hired is affecting more than just they went at head coach.
No question. I think that is absolutely what's happening there. I'll throw out two more. I'll let you guys decide which one you think is more interesting. I will say the Packers swapping out Aaron Jones for Josh Jacobs. When I don't know what you guys feel. I think Aaron Jones is the better running back of the two, and the Patriots, where they came out this offseason and they said, we got money to burn. Gerard Mayo was excited to spend money, and they have kind of just run it back with the old Patriots. They haven't really made too many additions outside of what they had previously. So a little intrigued as to what their short term plan is.
I like those guys. I think for me, because the Vikings, you know, they, you know, you move on with Danielle Hunter and you replace him with someone else. But it's like the Aaron Jones to the Vikings was one of my favorite moves, and I couldn't be more with you. I'm just not as high on Josh Jacobs as some others have been. It's really hot and cold season to season, and I absolutely think that was a steal for Minnesota, and Green Bay got worse at running back.
I've actually liked what the Patriots have done. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it's almost been a little under the radar what a sea change it is that Elliott Wolf is running their team now, and the philosophy that he brings from Green Bay is totally different. He even said they're changing their entire scouting language that they've had. So everything's going to be different. And that's just not a team that goes out there and spends crazy. So yes, Gerard Mayo said that they had all this cap space to spend. I think they wanted to. Now look, when we got a very competitive, good market, yeah, those are the types of deals actually I would not have expected Bill Belichick to get done. So it did feel a little different that these players were coming back. And then the Uche move, just because we haven't hit it on this podcast, is one of the craziest reported stories we've seen, that he literally had $11 million guaranteed in a 2-year contract that he passed on for a 1-year, $3 million contract with that can go up to 8 in incentives, which is wild. And you're seeing some buy-in from the defensive players, especially on this team, of like maybe what Mayo's going to do. But I think it's an ultimate bet on yourself moment, that he's literally taking less money because he thinks he's going to hit those incentives. And more importantly, that he'll get to free agency next year. People say like bet on yourself, passing on $8 million guaranteed bet on yourself. I literally can't remember that happening, especially for a second round pick who's probably made what, $2-3 million total in his entire career. It's almost unprecedented. So now I'm rooting a little extra for Josh Uche. I think it was a good move. He had 12 and a half sacks 2 years ago.
Good luck to him. Good luck.
If I was his agent, agent wasn't thrilled.
Does he have an agent? That might be.
Yes, because you could tell the way Tom P, the Pell Raiser, tweeted it out. You could tell. This is a rare case where a player went on their own and made the decision. Like, essentially, he went against his agent's advice and did what he wanted to. I'm fine with the Patriots. Look, they were in on Ridley, but they had a number. They weren't going to go too high. Like, what are they going to do?
7-10.
We just came off a season where we were like, okay, the Patriots need speed. They desperately need pieces for whoever their new quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
And the guy they've added is Antonio Gibson. I don't know.
All right,
I don't know.
It's early.
A couple more minutes with Bill. He's a busy
early
man.
Is right.
I'm gonna combine two categories here. So best remaining player in your opinion, and let's tie that together with predictions for what's next. Bill Barnwell, who's a player that you're quite fond of, that's on the market, and a team that should be very interested in going after said player.
Okay, so let's go.
Maybe not even a prediction, Bill. More just like in your mind, like what just makes so much sense, you know, for you.
I'll throw a prediction out there.
Go ahead.
I'm not scared.
Go for it.
I'm willing to put a team out there. I think Arik Armstead makes a lot of sense. A player who is really talented. It's a three technique. San Francisco, it wasn't like he wasn't playing well. Had some injury issues, but still was playing at a high level. I think they had some cap concerns. Thought maybe they could be a little less expensive after adding Hargrave on the defensive line. Nick Bosa's deal is hitting, and that's a significant contract. So maybe cutting back a bit. I
put a pin in this for 1 second, Bill. I hate to interrupt you. We actually have developing news on the Armstead situation. You are not allowed to look at your computer because it sounds like we know where he's going to go.
If
you can guess
what an opportunity
where he ends up landing, you actually win Around the NFL Podcast 2024. You're the winner.
Like, like those shows you're on ESPN, you win the game. Here we go.
I don't win very often. The team I was going to put out there was the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Whoa, are you serious? Stop.
Yes. 100%.
Did he get it?
He 100%. Got it right. Whoa. He wins the Around the NFL podcast.
He won the podcast.
What a.
I told you this guy should be a GM.
What a
he
moment
gets
in
it.
Time.
He sees things.
I'm not kidding. I did not look. They were my pick. I kind of figured if they got Calvin Ridley, they weren't going to go for that kind of move.
No, he's got integrity.
I swear.
He's a Northeastern graduate. He's got integrity for days.
You don't have like a television directly in front of you that's off to the side.
No.
I believe you. I believe you because you're that's the ilk of the type of the journalist that you are. You've nailed that. Wonderful job.
No, I would rather have made a funny pick that was wrong as opposed to a correct
pick. All right, so why is that such a great move now for the Jags?
They made a couple cuts. They let Fotokazi go. They needed some pieces up front. They needed to make an addition to the defensive side of the ball. They're set on the edge with Walker and Josh Allen. They cut Darius Williams. I think they're going to maybe address corner in the draft. But it kind of felt like once they lost Calvin Ridley, they had money to burn. I think they were budgeting to bring him back. And once they lost in Tennessee, they kind of had this big chunk of money, didn't really have a lot to do with it. There wasn't really any, a replacement for Ridley on the offensive side of the ball that made sense. They'd already signed Gabe Davis. I think they'll probably draft a wide receiver, but Armstead was the best player left and addressed the position of need for them. I think they were weak up front. I think they needed another piece on the interior. Armstead's a great player. Thought it made a lot of sense.
I love him. He's like 6'8", could barely walk, fit through a door.
Still playing well. He was actually the fifth highest graded interior pass rusher last year, according to PFF. Just missed snaps for the first time and missed 13 games over the last 2 years. It does remind me a little bit of, though, the Rams signing Allen Robinson just because they had so much money when they couldn't get Von Miller that they just like, well, we got to spend that money the next day.
Yep.
And so that's what the Jaguars do this with the Calvin Ridley money. But Armstead's a good player.
But was Trent Baalke the guy who drafted Eric Armstead?
Ooh.
Was he still there when they drafted Armstead?
I believe he was.
That was back in
2015.
2015, 17th overall.
I think Trent Baalke lasted until 15 or 16. So you've really sleuthed it once again. You win. Yeah, ooh. 2016 he was there until. So he did draft Eric Armstead. You can often connect these little dots.
Well, he can.
Yeah, I can't.
Bill, before we let you go, a little heat check on you because you've already won this podcast. But did you also win? Well, you can't win it outright because F.N. Rosenthal went 4-0. What a year Rosenthal had in his predictions. Bill, I don't know if you were plugged in on that. It was infuriating.
A source texted me about this very topic.
It was a constant thorn in the side of the other two people on this show.
He had a great year in his predictions, including his over-unders where he went 4-0. Now we're going to check back in August. You were on the show, Bill. Let's go over your over-unders. Here we go.
Okay.
You had the Rams over 6.5.
That was a home run.
Give him a ding.
We're off to a good start.
Give him a big old
ding. You had that by about week 14. That was
10-7.
Yeah.
You had the Lions under 9.5.
Ooh.
They had 12.
You were that team that didn't believe in them. You were the haters.
I was the hater.
But
there would be 9-8.
You had the Broncos over 8.5. Oh. Ooh.
This is no way to send him out of the episode.
This is accountability. The Broncos went 8-9. Wow. I didn't realize they got to 8. You almost had it.
Up a half game short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Eagles under 11.5. And that was looking like it was in a lot of trouble. And then they went in the tank and finished at 11-6 after they were 11-1, I believe.
We got hot at the end of the year.
We won't say what Mark did in that competition.
Oh, it's a disaster.
My source also texted what Mark did as well.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Now you gave him another thing to think about as he lays in bed with his eyes wide open, staring at the ceiling. Bill, come on. Mental health. That's
nice
important.
Ceiling.
Bill Barnwell, you've said it all. Please, what do you got out there? Give people avenues to get to more Barnwell.
Bill Barnwell written content at ESPN.com. ESPN's Bill Barnwell Show podcast. I think I'll be on NFL Live sometime next week. So just watch NFL Live every day and maybe I'll hop on there. Some sports centers here and there, around the horn here and there.
That sports center 45 minutes here.
I'm trying a new thing as host. I'm doing the hot ones thing, the host of hot ones, where he's like, look in this camera, that camera, and that camera, and tell us what you got going on. And I think you did a great job with it just there, Bill.
I've only got one camera, unfortunately, so I'm just going to stare at that camera until proven otherwise.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Barnwell.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Mount Rushmore.
Well, that was a stunt. That was a nice look into the skills of Bill Barnwell. Just a nail of 32 teams.
And Ian called them a dark horse, so he managed to pick a dark horse.
Pretty good. Let's take a break, and let's finish up the news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going through withdrawals about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
NFL media insiders, do they even like each other?
Greg, can we get your immediate reaction to something that just happened here? Sorry, Tom. We need your immediate reaction. So Tom and I are reporting. We have a trade.
It's always confusing to me which tweets you put both names, and then some tweets it's only one name. I don't know how that all works.
Look, there we go.
Killian's tweet. He was second. I was first.
Yes, Greg Rosenthal on the air, NFL Network, saying what needs to be said, that there's heat.
I don't even need to say it. That clip, if you re-listen to it, on the podcast or you watch it on YouTube, Tom starts to break the news. He has like a half second where
he
starts speaking and Ian literally cuts him off.
That's the game, man.
When we went down this avenue,
that's the game.
Back in Austin, I said that there is a bit of a flashpoint focus element to the insiders, and it's just mounting and growing and bubbling.
We're heading into draft season. This is all coming to a head. That's what flashpoint focus is all about.
Mm. Yep.
Do we have another clip, or is that?
We do.
Listen to that. That's soul right there. All right, let's listen to the other one.
Greg, really quick before we let you go, I don't want to be too harsh, you know, on your backdrop, but are you aware it kind of looks like you've got antlers, just with there's like a break in the wall or something back there? Like move your head a
Bunsen
little bit.
Bunsen burner.
A producer also wants to see what the sign says behind you, since we're only getting every third letter. So as long as it's
be
not
nice or
like
leave,
dirty or
if
something.
If you're a New Orleans fan, you'll kind of recognize that artist, Simon, who does a lot of stuff that was a wedding gift. And you can also see my lock trophy here as the back-to-back champion of the Around the NFL lock competition. It's a dynasty, people are saying.
What a dick.
There is no greater self-promoter in the entire building than Greg.
No, he's... He's there. If he's got a platform, he will be pumping himself.
You know, it's like a politician's thing. Like, don't answer the question that they ask. Answer the question you wish that they asked. I pivoted right off that antler.
You might want to.
Was important.
You should run for vice president.
Dynasty.
We would be comfortable if you want to join RFK. Take just a sabbatical here.
We'd be comfortable.
It's like antlers, by the way.
While I was saying that, I was like, I'm clipping this for the show.
Hell, good. Good work. I like it all. Pellraiser coming after you. He's trying to make a fool of you on live television.
I could work on that backdrop. There's a lot going on. It's not as smooth as some out there. Dan's looks great. You know, Mark's is good.
Mine is about as stark as it gets. I'm still working on that space.
The key to a good background, I find, is to have more depth, but It's hard to have depth of space here in Los Angeles.
Right. I tried to talk Emeka into, I would set it up on the, like that the camera would be showing the whole rest of the garage, and she thought that looked insane to show like the back of a garage.
It's like, Greg,
but then there would be depth.
It's like, Greg, we get it. You're a feminist. Like Liz Phair's CD sitting on the shelf. We get it, dude.
Well, that's signed.
You're a champion of women.
That was a birthday present from Liz. It says, happy birthday, Greg.
It used to be in your bedroom. You could have switched that
big.
Wait, that's a signed Liz Phair CD?
Not only, you know, individually signed when she was a guest of the Tonight Show. And I was
cool.
A page there.
All right. I thought maybe she went to your wedding, too.
All right. I'm going to give you a little bit of a pass there because there's more to it than just look at me.
I mean, give me a break.
I'm a champion.
Also, Gabe Kapler is in the mix there, back there. That's signed as
well. I like that. Signed as well. He is a Jewish star of a Boston sports team. You got to take advantage of that.
Who was batting, I believe, eighth for... some team in Japan, and what I guess you could call it would be the first time I really ever met my wife, Emeka. How about that?
Greg is real into autographs, apparently. I didn't realize that about him. Just like, autograph hunter.
I've seen him at the combine.
That was a present.
Elbowing, sharp elbows, the children.
You also get a lot of presents, it seems like. A lot of people are giving you gifts left and
right. Well, that was from the best man at our wedding.
Got his hand out.
He brought us to that game. It was when we first met.
It was your cousin who was stung by 120 bees at the wedding. What did he give you?
That was not at the wedding. That was when we were 10 years old in the
breaking news
forests of Wilbraham.
Breaking news. What was it again? I forgot.
The Seahawks are acquiring Sam Howell from the Washington Commanders. They also get a fourth round and a sixth round pick in the deal. The Commanders actually move up. I mean, man, if I'm Sam Howell, I'm like, wait, it's only a move up? The Commanders move up to the third and the fifth round of the draft. So essentially two pick swaps where the Commanders move up one round and the Seahawks get Sam Howell for, I'll say it, virtually nothing.
Yeah.
I kind of love it for Seattle.
Well, depends on your opinion of Sam Howell.
I actually think like that.
I think it's good business.
I know that Geno Smith is just like likely your start at this point, but Mike McDonald not
good news for Geno Smith.
It is good news. Geno could have had a tougher competitor. I still think actually a rookie will be there too, and it might be one of those three-headed battles where it was like Whitehurst, Russell Wilson, and was Matt Flynn there?
Matt Flynn had been the big free agent signing, then lost his job.
But if this is the veteran competition for Geno, you know he's gonna be over Sam Howell, certainly. And look, if you could just get a third-year quarterback who's shown that he's decent, and all you had to do was move down 24 spots from the third to the fourth round, I mean,
sure,
any cheap way to get a quarterback, I'll take it.
It's a solid trade.
Yeah.
And it's easy to forget now because he had such a disastrous second half. There were real conversations about how being the answer there in Washington. Now a regime change occurs. So all of a sudden, he's no longer a favored son, but he absolutely torpedoed his future there with some reckless bad play. So he's looking to kind of become a more consistent player. Maybe he can get, he's kind of got a little bit of Ryan Fitzpatrick DNA, and then maybe he can have opportunities along the way like Fitzpatrick.
And thanks to his late season swoon, they won four games and are in position to get a new quarterback, which is obviously
after Greggy and the Pats there.
It was a good, it was a lesson. On stats don't lie, but they need context. I believe he was benched at the time that he was leading the NFL in passing yards
or
close to it.
Close to right.
Because my son Walker, or maybe it was fantasy points or something among quarterback, because Walker was blown away. He was like, how could they bench the guy that is leading the NFL in passing?
He was throwing for an ass ton of passing yards. I remember that. All right. Let's finish out the news.
How many passing yards?
An ass ton. It was like, he was on pace for like a 5,000 yard season.
I love, dirty words or phrases that are spun that way where it's like, that's not, you just created a term for the most part.
And thank you, Randy, for letting me know that Kapler was playing for the Yomiuri Giants.
Heavens
by the way,
to Betsy.
Struggled badly. Was kind
what's that, Mark?
I didn't say that.
Heavens to Betsy.
My grandmother used to say that, so that's where I picked that.
Yes, like everyone that was born in 1898 used to say that. All right, here we go. Let's spin through the rest of the news here. The Cowboys finally get in the mix. They sign Eric Kendricks to a deal. Kendricks had backed out of an agreement, or was heading toward, where was it?
Yeah, he had agreed with the 49ers.
Niners, and he changes his mind and goes to the Cowboys. The Raiders, finally, this feels like it's been something that's been percolating for a couple of years now. They say goodbye to Hunter Renfro, so they cut ties with the slot receiver. And Ronnie Stanley stays with Baltimore, the guard. He gets a haircut, which means a pay cut, and they trade Morgan Moses to the Jets for a late pick swap. Actually, I like that trade for the Jets as well. That was a he was on the Jets, then signed with the Ravens. Now the Jets get him back for some late round picks. Anything on those moves?
I like Stanley staying in Baltimore because they've lost offensive linemen, they've lost Patrick Queen, they've lost Geno Stone, they've lost Ronald Darby. You know, it's Odell Beckham's out the door. And you mentioned the Cowboys. We haven't really talked about it. I feel like everyone is, so it's kind of like we get it. But for the Jerry Jones telling us that this is going to be like the all-in team that gets super active, they've lost almost 4,500 snaps in terms of personnel off the roster, and some of those in key positions.
They're in a tricky financial place, and I think that's playing into... They got this Dak thing hanging over the team. You got the CeeDee Lamb contract hanging over the team. You got, you know, Micah Parsons down the road. I think they're kind of in a tough spot a little bit.
Yeah.
They also had...
buy into us.
I don't know if it was ever confirmed that it was actually Tyron Smith's, you know, Twitter account that was like saying, call me up, Cowboys. I don't really want to leave. I also think, though, the Cowboys do have a heart. There is a draft analyst out there by the name of like Connor, NFL draft analyst, and he said, he's a big Cowboys fan apparently, that he would start doing meth if the if the Cowboys don't freaking sign a free agent in the next hour. And within that hour, they signed Eric Kendricks. So I think they saw that out there and they wanted
they
to
save somebody.
Yeah, that's a caring move.
Tyron Smith, by the way, veteran left tackle, 33 years old, coming off a big season with them. He's always been a really talented, you know, borderline Hall of Fame level talent for the Cowboys. I'm surprised he doesn't have a hotter market. He's hanging out there still. Maybe he does have a hot market. He's just taking his time to make the decisions, but like nudging the Cowboys and be like, hey guys, you want to think this over? 2 weeks after it was widely reported that they were moving on.
I don't know
if there's some type of red flags, you know, some
I think teams
medical
are,
history.
He's not getting the contract that he was hoping for, some big guaranteed money. Teams must be worried about the injuries.
I mean, can you understand? Like, I do get the, I kind of want to just stay with the Cowboys in Dallas because it's annoying to move, first of all. I'm sure he could get a move. Or, like,
also seems fun to play for the Cowboys. I know Cowboys,
another year
people that hate the Cowboys
there.
Don't want to hear that, but you're on primetime all the time. You're treated well by ownership. You're in a beautiful stadium. Everybody's always watching you.
Probably live on a ranch.
Although Dalton Schultz pointed out how
no state income tax.
Dalton Schultz pointed out how sometimes when you're working out, they are like taking tours past you and they can see through the glass to you working out. And he was just like, what's, you know, kind of reminded me of your situation, Mark.
Yeah.
Where the tours are going by your. Now imagine that, except you're doing like squats and whatnot. I mean, the last thing I think you would want is
yeah, but there's a little difference between me doing squats and Dalton Schultz.
Well, like, sure, it would be impressive.
Are you saying like you're concerned you might, you know, beef or something when you're doing squats and someone's
no, I just mean like you don't want people
I wasn't sure you were getting
staring at you while you're lifting, you know, doing weights and stuff.
Right.
And you got, you know,
that's certainly a consequence as well, potentially.
Yeah, you're right. That's one of the that could happen to you. That would be problematic.
You go to Terry Black's right before.
You had a middle school class.
Oh, they
you
would
guys
love that.
They keep
like
they keep they must have nowhere else to go because they've gone back and forth.
I should add
times.
Journalistically, a downside of playing for the Cowboys is that you physically cannot advance past the divisional round of the playoffs. But there's a little bit of a
yeah, but your offseason starts sooner.
Glass ceiling as well.
It's true. You don't really get paid extra for the playoffs. It's sneaky.
That's true.
I mean, a little bit, but barely.
In other news, Willie Gay goes to the Saints. The Bucs bring Jordan Whitehead, the safety, back home after a couple of years with the Jets. The Bengals get Sheldon Rankins, who I've always liked. Von Bell. They cut ties with Nick Scott.
Also, while we were taping, the Lions picked up DJ Reader, who is coming off a torn quad, but is a very good player.
I like Reader
when he is healthy, to a pretty sizey contract. Some of these contracts for defensive linemen, Rankins is a good example, went way up. Like, he's a guy
is that the Jamal Williams injury
that had been signing like 1 year. Yeah, I know. Torn quads. I'm surprised that I want to look at the particulars if they have some protection injury wise, because you're often not the same player off a torn quad. But Rankin's got 2 for 26. Like, that just shows how much cap space is out there, because he's the same player. He's a very good player, the same player as he's been the last couple of years, but now is getting almost like double the money that he was getting from Houston or from the Jets.
I should be clear that Adams had a torn quad tendon, which is different than the muscle. So I think it's the tendon is the one where it's like, uh-oh, maybe the muscle tear is not quite as foreboding. All right. That's what's happening in the news. What, did we get everything?
Well, I think we had a couple predictions that are out there.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's cycle back to that. So I asked Bill to offer a prediction, and not only in real time did he offer a sound one, it was confirmed via the news seconds later that he was correct in getting, who was it? It was to the Jaguars.
Eric Armstead.
So, Brian, I just had a stroke. Mark, I don't know who Brian is. Mark, who?
I could be Brian if you
give us a prediction.
So Mike Williams, I've been looking around at a couple of these wideout rooms, and I think Mike Williams, I think the former owner of this team would have liked the Mike Williams concept a lot, but the Las Vegas Raiders right now have Davante Adams, who they're obviously at this, you know, I don't think the idea of the trading him is gone, because they got behind him Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers, and then you've got guys like Trey Tucker, DJ Turner, and Christian Wilkerson. They have nothing at wide receiver. So I feel like Mike Williams to Las Vegas, you know, in the same division, it kind of takes away from the Chargers, adds to the Raiders. They need a wide receiver. And
right church, wrong pew.
Why so?
It's so on brand for where this team is right now and this player. Odell wants to play in Vegas. Odell Beckham to the Raiders.
I guess. But
for
I guess
a little more money than you would think.
If you're Odell, though, and you literally shredded your relationship in Cleveland because of what you can deem to be and your father deemed to be shaky quarterback play, do you sign up with a team that right now has Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell?
He'll go who offers him money at this point. I could just see the Raiders being wanting to get in the Odell business, put it that way.
I mean, it makes sense.
We went
from
to the,
a,
we
image
went
angle.
The Super Bowl at in Vegas this year. You know, did the walk around the concourse. I always like to do that and see what these stadiums look like. Beautiful facility, Allegiant Stadium. But the Raiders are insane with who they retire, the numbers they retire. They retired Randy Moss's number.
They didn't retire his number. They had
he's in the ring of whatever the.
They had. I guess what it was
that
is
didn't
like,
even go well.
It was like any Raider that has ever made the Hall of Fame gets their picture up. Even though they counted
so
Randy Moss, they counted Jerry Rice as a Raider too. Come on.
Well, that's actually tricky because Beckham, he should be going to the Hall of Fame, but he just kind of his career he didn't. Injuries played a role, but he never reached the full potential of what he was, which was a beautiful, perfect wide receiver early in his career. So, but I still like, they love big name brands. They always have. Al loved it. His son, Mark, loves it. So that's my prediction.
I'm going to go with a trade. I'm going to go with Marshawn Lattimore going to the New England Patriots in a deal. I think Ron Wolf, I feel better. It feels like there's an adult in the room now with the Patriots in terms of how to run a team. And I think their defense looks quite good on paper, and they're going to look for any value, and they can afford it. Like they didn't find the right players to spend a lot of money, but Marshawn Lattimore, let's say you give up like a
when there's some buzz round about Lattimore hitting the
I
road,
think Lattimore right? is going to get traded at some point. Maybe it would happen the next week. Maybe it would happen closer to the draft. But you might be able to get away with giving up like a third round pick for Lattimore, or maybe I don't know.
You know Greg's going to nail this, and then ours are going to go by the wayside. That's all.
That's how. Well, that was.
That's all. That's all the earth is.
It's a new year. It's a new year. It's a new chance for us. How about? I believe it was a draft classmate. Was Alvin Kamara and Lattimore in the same class?
I think that's right.
Both that mega 2017 class that revitalized Sean Payton's career in New Orleans. How about another Saints one? Kamara up to Denver. Reteam with Sean Payton. Trying to kind of get some elements that are familiar to him as he looks to reboot the machine post Russ, truly in his vision. And it's not going to cost you much because I think Kamara at this stage won't command something big. So like Kamara for a fifth rounder, something like that.
Wow.
Fourth rounder, maybe.
How about this one? The G-Men and Justin Fields. After a bunch of no one really wants him, we get it. Like at this point, I'm wondering if the Bears just hold on to him It's like he's not a child. If they draft a rookie, they can coexist. And then when a team has like their star quarterback have his knee destroyed, like in week three, Justin Fields' value goes up because right now his value is very low. But the G-men feel, or the, even the Patriots feel like a potential fit.
I'm with you. If I was the Bears and I don't get offered anything better than like a fourth,
and that feels shaky right
during
now.
The draft, then I would rather just keep Justin Fields and
yes.
make everyone be a grown-up, and maybe he'll get traded later on.
I think that's a good one. I don't know about to the Giants because
there aren't that many teams that make sense for Justin Fields. The Giants are done with Daniel Jones after this season.
They got Drew Lock,
but Drew Lock is a.
But if you hold on to him, that makes sense. I think we'll be telling if you see the Bears add another backup to the room in the coming days and weeks that they might be thinking about keeping Fields and then having someone in the building when they move Fields maybe in October.
You just can't have I think Justin Fields is a tricky QB2 because I think fans love him. I know these teams don't seem to love him or something about him, but
teammates do.
Teammates do, but like if Justin Fields is sitting behind any quarterback that's struggling on any level, it's like there's going to be a problem for the coaching staff.
Hmm. We still got stuff out there, but not as much. It was fast. The insiders were talking, as part of their
program. Did they seem to,
today?
When you were on the program today, did they seem to let you in, or was there any coldness to it? Like, how was it?
They let me in, certainly. They were friendly. I mean, it was pretty much whatever interactions we had was on the air, because, it wasn't too much before that. But, yes, they were great. They were talking about how this really was the fastest moving. I don't know how they could prove this, but the fastest moving free agency that had ever happened in terms of the most players and the most signings coming off the board, the faster.
Faster. Yeah, because people have been tampering for like 45 days. I don't want to hear about this idea that it's, cone of silence until this false deadline is ushered in.
I've got 11 players left off of my top 101, and that was the top 101 for Monday. If you had gone back to the original list, it'd be way, way, way.
People are tracking
that.
It at this pace, Greg. I know they're looking at every transaction on the NFL.com website.
Didn't get him a chip. Should have gotten to a Super Bowl, but they got robbed by the officials. But that 2017 Saints draft class, Marshawn Lattimore, first round, Ryan Ramczyk, first round, Marcus Williams, second round, Alvin Kamara, third round, Trey Hendrickson, third round, Alex Anzalone, and the sixth pick.
The Saints have also had a couple disastrous first round selections since.
That it really is an all-time draft.
Reset that whole organization with Drew Brees as the final year.
I mean, Hendrickson's the third round pick. Muhammad, actually, you mentioned as even the sixth round pick had a nice career. It ended up being in Indianapolis, but like that's a crazy draft.
It's like Mickey Loomis actually is focused on the team. At various junctures.
It was back then. You know who's playing well right now? The Pelicans. I guess that's our time to to leave.
Whenever the Pelicans come up. All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back on Friday if something warrants it, but don't hold your breath. It's got to be big. Got to be
we had a Deshaun
Greg
Watson.
Running for president.
We had a Deshaun Watson one a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's not stealing my Friday.
Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.